Hi everyone, and welcome back to Into the Void. I'm your host Ant, and you join me today for episode number 36 of my weekly audio diary, or A-log as I like to call it, in which I share my thoughts and observations and musings about the world and current events, and also share some insights as to my own journeying or journeys through life, and hopefully a few pearls of wisdom along the way. So thank you all, as always, for tuning in. It's great to be back, and I hope life is treating you well and you're managing to survive all the slings and arrows that tend to come our way from time to time. Anyway, onwards and upwards. In today's show, I just want to pick up briefly, I'm going to go into too much depth, on a story, an economic story, in relationship to the situation in Ukraine and Russia and the usual suspects, the globalists. So in the last week or so, it was announced by the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that apparently the Russian economy has outgrown or has grown faster than all advanced economies across the world, predominantly, of course, in the West. So the reason why I'm talking about this obviously relates to the fact that since the start of the Russian special military operation in Ukraine, back in February 2022, so over 2 years ago now, we've seen a constant attempt by the globalist Western powers to isolate Russia. We've seen a whole slew of sanctions, the theft or seizure at the very least of many Russian assets. And this, we were told, was as punishment for the Russians' expansionism or Russians' military adventurism in the Ukraine. And here we are 2 years on, from official sources no less, the IMF reporting that this whole attempt to isolate Russia, to cause really the collapse of the ruble and the entire Russian economy, has proven to be a total and abject failure. And once again, this just points to the total ineptitude, and I would argue the criminal miscalculation of the Western political establishment, the globalists, who, far from being sort of these sort of evil geniuses that many certain types of truthers in alternative sphere would argue that they are. I think what we're seeing is just it's almost the triumph of banality, the triumph of mediocrity, the triumph of bureaucracy. And I think this also speaks to what many have spoken to or spoken about, and is this sort of the way in which we're seeing now, and I'll talk about this in more detail later, the final part of today's show, but this general malaise within Western societies, because we are being supposedly ruled by just the most inept, as I was saying, and the most morally moribund people in the world. And they just seem to be driven by arrogance and hubris. And as some people are also saying, which I happen to agree, that famous phrase that whom the gods seek to sort of destroy, they make them go mad, first of all. And I think this is what we're seeing with these criminal collection of people, in that even though we now know, even for official sources from the IMF, the total disaster that has been this attempt to isolate Russia economically, still Their support for Ukraine continues. In recent days, we had the announcement from the House of Representatives over across the pond in the United States, a huge so-called relief fund for Ukraine amounting to about $60 billion. No doubt much of it will be used to enhance the profits of the military industrial complex, and a lot of it will be siphoned off into money laundering enterprises and many other types of criminal enterprise. But and then we also saw many of these deadbeat politicians in Washington waving their little yellow and blue flags, including that creature, I won't even call her human, Nancy Pelosi, that little sack of shit. Just complete madness. I'm sure there are many societal problems across the US that that money could have been used to at least partly address, but no, it's being used to fund the ongoing meat grinder in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, a situation, as I've said many times before, Russia won, already won. This is just an ongoing arrogance and just an inability for the West to accept defeat. They've already been defeated, and alongside the continued push towards this ridiculous target of carbon neutral or carbon zero. And last week or so, we had the announcement by Tesla, a 10% reduction in their staff. And more widely, again, massive reduction in sales for electric vehicles across the board in many countries. We still have the globalists and the political establishment across the Western world still pushing these ridiculous fake agendas. They're so invested in their psychotic ideas, they literally can't give up on it. And unfortunately, I mean, my fear is, as you know, if you know me and my content, I'm not a doom porn merchant. But my concern is if they do continue to provoke Putin, do continue to provoke Russia, where it's all going to lead to, they just don't, they just seem intent on carrying on driving the whole of humanity off a proverbial cliff. So there really is, it doesn't appear to be, I don't know, there's no resolution to the situation. You've just got a bunch of criminal psychopaths in terms of the political establishment, aka the globalists, and all we can hope is that they do literally destroy themselves spiritually, physically, materially, in every sense that's human po humanly possible before they destroy the rest of us. I mean, that's all we can that's all we can really hope for. So that was just a story I wanted to pick up on that, again, non-Western backed social commentators and economists who said at the time when sanctions were first placed upon Russia at the beginning part of 2022 that these would all prove to be totally counterproductive, and this report from the IMF official sources again confirms that. But still, you know, the madness continues. Anyway, I want to move on now to return to one of my kind of themes or features that I like to talk about quite a lot. And that's just drawing on some of my COVID memoirs. And what I want to do today really is reframe the whole event and look at it from more of a zoomed out sort of a higher dimensional aspect. So I don't hear many people talk about it in this light. I do hear a lot of people, some of which should know better. I'm not going to mention names, far be it from me to do that, but are still really creating the divide. They're still going on about, you know, the normies who took the fake vax and how, you know, they're all idiots, or you know, they're not even human anymore. And this just terrible divide and rule, which I hate to see really. And I say there's a lot of people online who should know better. Yes, I accept, you know, that old phrase, never forget, never forget. But we have to move on, and we do have to forgive to some degree the kind of decisions that people have made. But some people in the alternative media, they just don't seem to be able to move on at all, and they still have nothing but scorn for those who did fall prey to all the propaganda, and for those who did, you know, fall under the spell of all the mainstream media kind of mind control and programming, and all the psychological operations that were going on, and just as powerfully, of course, all the social conditioning that was going on as well. So I think it is helpful. Now that we're kind of so many years on from the event, X amount of years, couple of years anyway, in terms of reframing it and trying to see it from more a zoomed out, more of an evolved perspective. Because ultimately, we are not going to move on as a species, and we are not going to avoid destroying ourselves, which I still think is a possibility. I think as each year goes by and we still survive, I think it becomes less of a possibility. And no, that's not because of the evil so-called geniuses running the world. No, it's just because of our own individual actions as they pertain to the collective. So I think it's important as time and distance moves on that we do understand what we've been through. I think it can be helpful to think of it in terms of periodically throughout history, human beings have experienced traumatic events, be it real pandemics, be it fake pandemics, be it wars, be it natural events. And all of these type of happenings do, they force us to change. They force us to step out of our normal routines and our normal day-to-day patterns, because as I'm sure all of you guys listening to me today are well aware, us humans, we absolutely are creatures of habit. That phrase does ring true. And I know myself, quite often I do need a very severe kick up the bum to change my patterns. And as we also know that, you know, quite often to grow and develop as human beings, we have to reach beyond our comfort zones, because that's where the growth is. And what I'm just trying to get across in this little segment today, in this episode of Into the Void, is how quite often adversity does serve the growth of us as human beings. Now, I'm not condoning what went on. Of course, I wasn't. And if you've heard any of my content during the height of COVID, you know I was rightly angry, as many of us were, for the despicable overreaction and what we went through. But, you know, as I say, as time moves on, we need to look at things in a more kind of zoomed out perspective. And quite often, as a human collective and as individuals, we can become very complacent, and this causes a kind of general stagnancy in the energy. And that's why, unfortunately, things like, as I was saying, real and fake pandemics and wars on a higher level, they are a kind of necessary wake up call, because the heat needs to be turned up. And I'm not saying that I condone war or I condone engineered pandemics. Of course I'm not. But quite often it is the case, as I said, I know from my own life, that when there is a crisis and when we just need to act in the moment, and we, you know, we can't fall into it back into our comfort zones, that's what does bring the best out. That does bring the best out in us, perhaps I can say. And that's how we can see the light in the darkness. And those more of a perhaps kind of metaphysical understanding that might argue that this is the way in which Satan or the devil could be viewed as a servant of God. I'm not really sure I see things in that regard. I mean, I can understand that way of seeing things. I think it's a kind of a little bit of a simplistic way of looking at it, but I think it probably does have some kind of relevance. And overall, I think that I think as we move forward, undoubtedly there will be similar events, to the dreaded COVID, C19. But I think that's because we do, as a species, as a collective, and individually, we will need further kicks, proverbial kicks up the backside to push us forward, to push us forward towards growth, to push us forward in terms of doing things in new and innovative ways. And I think you'll all agree with me that it was quite sad to see so many people fall like a proverbial deck of cards during COVID, to see so many people just going along to get along. And I think at the same time, we have to recognise that it has, you know, led to a more of a kind of sense of a general awakening as well. So we've got the two things going on at the same time. But I think that still isn't of a sufficient numbers or numbers of people to reach a kind of critical mass that many people talk about that we need to reach as a society or as a world before we begin to see real massive changes within society and within institutions, and how economics, how global finance works, how we trade, how we grow food, how we farm, the pharmaceutical industry, all these different things, how they may change in the future. I don't think we have really kind of reached that critical mass yet. I think we're still quite some years away from that. But more broadly, we know that pain compels growth. But I do agree with the mantra that pain doesn't necessarily mean that we have to suffer. I know that I've had a lot of pain in my life, in my history. I've shared some of it in some of my content, a lot of it brought on by myself, and that has led to a lot of suffering. And I know in a lot of instances that has been brought on by me not understanding life fully in that particular moment in the past. So yeah, I am now coming around more to the idea that we all experience pain in life, but I agree that that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to suffer long term as an individual or as a collective. And I know this isn't it's not an easy concept to understand or to get our heads around, because as human beings, we constantly have the need to blame. And when we see so much criminality, so much manipulation of our psychology, of our perceptions, it is hard to accept that there is a bigger picture at play, and that sometimes sometimes pain and discomfort is necessary in order to further our evolution as a species on this planet. So that was just a little bit of a drawing on some of my COVID memories or memoirs, and how it can be useful to reframe how we see such an event in terms of moving into the future. So in the last part of today's episode of Into the Void, I want to develop an idea that's got many, many different aspects in it, actually. And I know it's kind of a thought that is gaining more and more ground within society. And that's this sort of idea of, how can I say this? It's very eloquent. But why do we feel that modern life is so rubbish? Why does there seem to be so much of a malaise within culture, within modern forms of music, within modern forms of art? Why does the culture in so many ways seem so dull and so soulless? And I just want to stay at the outset in terms of this sort of general malaise that I picked up for many years now, even before COVID, is that at the outset, I know it sounds like a strange thing to say or a paradoxical thing to say, so forgive me. I know it does might sound a bit odd with this sort of exponential growth in the reach of things like AI, artificial intelligence, but hear me out here. I think one of the main reasons why we're feeling this sort of general malaise and this sort of sense in which things aren't moving forward, we're just treading water, is because I would argue I don't really think there's been any huge sort of developments in technology in the last 20, even 25 years, really. I think in terms of what we, so-called consumer, I hate that phrase, but there we go, that's the common vernacular used for such things, but we as the consumers of technology in the last, say, 20, 25 years, in terms of the internet has gone from something that used to be in the corner of a room or something. There was a process whereby we would log on, or we'd have to, you know, there was like a little ritual. You'd have a computer room or an office, and you'd have a desktop in there. And then we moved on to many people having laptops when they became more affordable, because of back in the day, 20 years ago, they were very, very expensive compared to desktops. Of course, now they're a lot cheaper. So there was also this kind of, so there was this process of we had to log on. Now, as we know, the internet is this ephemeral thing that, you know, constantly exists. It exists in our breast pocket, inside our pocket. It's all around us all the time, thanks to Wi-Fi connections. Well, not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. So, in its essence, really, although aspects or dimensions of the internet have changed in terms of things like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, and we've gone from very short videos to hours and hours long videos. But I would say, in essence, really, there hasn't been any real major change, I don't think. It's just the way in which or how we consume the internet. Furthermore, I would also argue, and I think this is where I think this is easier to see through the lens of kind of like a technological malaise, or the way in which I think things have moved in terms of our consumption of media in a way that doesn't serve us, but just serves the corporations and the media moguls. And that's the way in which, of course, we consume things like music and movies. Whereas once upon a time, we had the physical media in our hand in the form of a CD or a DVD in a good old-fashioned DVD box sets. And over the years, many people have given up their CDs, given up their physical media, and they've moved to online streaming services, of course. Things like Spotify. I also listen to a lot of music on YouTube. It's not necessarily downloading or anything like that. It's just a very easy way to consume music. But if you think about it, there hasn't been no real development in that. Again, I just keep coming back to this theme. It's just the way in which we consume, in this instance, music. And of course, it's the same thing in terms of movies. Now, in addition to that, I think this, which also adds to the sense of we're not moving forward as a society, as a, say, when I say culture, I say sort of Western-centric culture, as I live in the UK. Is in terms of the last 20 years, what we've had is very, there doesn't seem to be, because we consume our media, our music and films very much individually, there hasn't been any real, I would argue, any real sort of cultural movements in the last 20 years that have gained any real kind of foothold within society. And I think what this is leading to is just this sense of sameness. Like, if I think of 2024, I mean, what's the signature of 2024, or what characterizes 2024? And when I look back to 2014, I think, well, I can't think what particularly characterized 2014. And I think more and more people are feeling this, whereas in the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s, you had, of course, a lot of these kind of cultural movements. They weren't organic things that came from the ground. They were engineered by the social manipulators, the social engineers, to steer humanity in a certain direction. But even so, we take that as read. I think the fact that they, from my perspective, other people might disagree, of course, but I just think it just it sometimes I have days, you know, when you're a bit when you're a little bit foggy, especially at the moment, forgive me, my chest is quite bad, so it's quite difficult. But it's sometimes it can be difficult to think what year you're in, and I can't sometimes I find it hard that we're in, you know, in the third decade of this century. To me, it just seems, to me, it seems absurd, really, because there doesn't seem this forward advancement. Because what I'm talking about in terms, I don't really feel there is any real advancement in technology, and I feel it is all, it's all this idea of constantly upgrading all the time that places all this pressure on people, not only the time to do the upgrades but the financial pressure as well. And I think this is all, this idea of moving forward is all really an illusion to extract more and more money from us, the consumers or the masses. And I think in the last couple of years, since the cost of living crisis, not only here in the UK but across much of the Western world, we've seen insane increases in basics like, as we know, energy prices and food. I think that's a kind of recognition, or it's a way in which the system is trying to recoup or extract more money from us, because they're kind of struggling to continue in terms of the whole upgrade. If we just relate it to mobile phones, most people now, mobile phone development has kind of just reached an end game. So now, for example, you see adverts for the new Google Pixel, I think that's how it's described, might be wrong, Google Pixel camera anyway, and the stupid advert they got at the moment where one of the functions on the is for the camera editing, where you can just replace the heads on the photo and you press it, and then you can, you know, press it again and replace the head. So it's just this, the way in which and it's the same sort of with electric vehicles, how in which they are marketed, not in terms of real the heart kind of usability of the actual item for the consumer, but real just sort of idiotic gimmicky aspects that might appeal to sort of like a 15-year-old, or do you know, it's we're seeing that more and more in terms of, whilst I'm on the subject of cars as well, I mean, electric cars were originally invented in the 1890s, I believe, by a Mr. Benz, of course, a Mercedes Benz. And really, okay, you could say that the battery technology has changed, but the principle, you know, hasn't really evolved in over 120, 130 years. And I think that's just another, the way in which we don't really feel like we're moving forward. At least I don't feel, I should say, that we're really moving forward in any real or discernible way. And in terms of cars, I don't think there's been any real, in cars in general, petrol and diesel, I don't think there's been any real discernible difference or positive engineering advancements in the last 20 years. I think a lot of what we've seen in the last 20 years is very, it's just cosmetic, like you'll have a button for sports mode, and it's just really, a lot of it's just around vanity and it's very cosmetic. So I'm quite interested in cars, a bit of a petrol head. It's generally accepted. So for example, BMW, the whole M series, the BMW M5, which is like the sports version of the 5 series, it reached its pinnacle, and I agree, around 2005, 2006, because I believe then that was when the M3 as well, the sports series of the BMW 3 Series, that's when the look of the car reached its peak, the engineering reached its peak, and since then, the evolution of the BMW M Series really has seen, if anything, because the cars in general, not just the BMW M Series, have become over-engineered, we've gone past the point at which they're actually improving. So now it's generally agreed within the industry, the latest generation BMW M Series, the M5 especially, is that they're actually worse now than they were 20 years ago. And I think this is a phenomena that we're seeing across society. And if I look at this more from a sort of kind of higher dimensional, spiritual dimension, I think this is what some people speak to in terms of, we're now kind of, if you see, if I can put it, materialism as a project or as a continued evolution, I think we are reaching the end game now of materialism. Because if you think of it, you think of a car or any other consumer item, eventually you reach a point where you have the optimum engineering. You've produced a car and it can't actually be improved upon, as I was talking about with the BMW M5. And I think that kind of replicates itself all the way across society. And you can see, like, in terms of electric cars, I think a lot of the electric cars that I see, they look plasticky, they look tacky, they're not particularly nice to drive. And also with the development of other consumer items, where the emphasis seems to be placed upon batteries, of course, things like, say, battery powered garden mowers and things like that, they don't have the same voltage as electric powered. So again, what we're seeing, I believe, is actually a devolution, not an evolution in technology. So I think we are being, in many, many ways, and I don't mean this from a dark, oh my God, you know, the dark satanic forces, they're doing this to humanity. I just think that it's interesting to observe how, I think, in many, many regards, and obviously, if you're of a religious persuasion, you would say this idea of materialism reaching its natural end, or this particular expression of humanity at this time, I would say, is reaching a grand reckoning. And sorry to make my point, religious people would say, well, we are now reaching the period of revelations, and we are coming up to almost like a fork in the road, where we can carry on the path that we're currently on, or the trajectory that we're on, and it's going to lead to our annihilation. Or, you know, now is the time to embrace more of our spiritual dimension, to go within, to embrace that aspect of ourselves as we move forward. And that might give us a chance at surviving as a species. And I must admit, it is quite shocking when you actually think about how much money, how many billions, if not trillions, is extracted through people's from people through their desire to keep up with the latest thing, to have the latest versions of everything. But as the point I've been trying to get across is, quite often now, and in more recent years, the latest version of things means it's an inferior product than, say, 15, 20 years ago. Of course, we have to include the whole idea of designed obsolescence, that things are designed to fail now. In many instances, they're sealed units, you can't repair them. And I think more and more, this is leading ourselves towards a situation of a crisis point, because those in charge, or those to have pretensions to be in charge, as I was just in charge, sorry, before, as I was just talking about in regards to Russia and Ukraine, they're not going to change their philosophical outlook, if I can put it like that. They seem intent to carry on the insane megalomaniac path that they're on. But just lastly, I just want to finish on this to say that I think for a lot of youngsters, I think that's why they're feeling, I don't want to talk about the economic situation today, but generally why they're feeling a general malaise is because of the lack of new credible culture in terms of music and art forms. And that's why quite a lot, no doubt, are drawn to the music of my youth in the 80s and 90s and the amazing films that were around still at that time, and other kind of art forms and culture and things like that. And I think it is, even if you, like myself, I describe myself as, I don't know what kind, I don't really know how I would describe myself, but definitely someone that is, I guess you could say, alternative, in that I'm not within the mainstream, although I exist within mainstream society. But I think part of the reason why life does feel so challenging is because it does feel as if something outside, something malevolent, whatever it is, whether it's supernatural, has a supernatural aspect as well, it does seem to be containing our human development or evolution in terms of this sort of malaise we're feeling, because we don't feel like we're moving, forward as a society. And we feel like in many ways, economically, you know, we're going back to many, many, many years ago when things were even harder for people. And I think that's also why it's just this sort of the way, just back to how we consume media, in that now we're also atomized, and because we consume media very much on our phone, on our own, there's very little sense of kind of like lots, millions of people are all consuming or watching the same film or watching the same news item or listening to the same types of music all at the same time. And there can be some sort of comfort from that. And I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, that in recent years, the real rise in popularity of response videos, where normally it's two people, like a podcast type setup, who comment on films and more popularly on music and all the rest of it. And I think that's indicative of our need to be with other people when we watch films, to be with other people when we listen to music. And in a lot of instances now, because we are so isolated in our little pods whilst consuming media on our little smartphones, our cell phones, it is comforting when we watch these kind of YouTube channels of these response videos. And they are very, very popular. Some of these response videos get hundreds of thousands of views. And I think, again, that's because there's an aspect of us that's lost, that we still had maybe 15, 20 years ago when we'd, you know, get around our mate's house. I remember back then, 20 years ago, I was probably still watching things like The Simpsons with friends before it all went weird and kind of crazy. and even listening to music, perhaps, with others. And there's something quite innately tribal about that as well. And I think we're losing that as well. And I think that aspect of life does just lead to this sense of a general malaise, or a general idea that we're not moving forward anymore as a society. We're not evolving, and in many ways, it does feel like we're de-evolving, unfortunately. Anyway, that was just a little explanation as to why I think I don't think technology is advancing. Really, for us as consumers, it's all very much a chimera or an illusion. So anyway, I think I'll round things up here for this week's episode of Into the Void. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you could relate to at least some of what I was sharing today. And I will speak to you all again very soon. Bye for now.